So after the sermon, a word of prayer, asking the Lord to bless his word, and then we'll sing Psalter 144 to the tune of Psalter 247. Again, a song we don't know that tune very well. So 247 is the tune, but the song is Psalter 144. Dear congregation, belonging to Christ, each one here, I wonder if in your home presently you have lots of soap. I'm thinking you probably do. And lots of hand sanitizer as well. For a time, a few months back, at least, you could hardly get these products in the stores. They were sold out, literally. But now we know the shelves are mostly restocked. And the companies making soap and selling hand sanitizer products, they are among the most busy, aren't they? And they're making good money in these times, just like bike companies. They're successful businesses in this pandemic situation that we are in. Every one of us is being told, aren't we, for the last months to make sure that we wash our hands with lots of soap, to wash them diligently, thoroughly, and repeatedly, and to use hand sanitizer frequently and regularly wherever you go. And I see that you do so here also as church, as we do in Calgary as well. It's still, they say, washing of hands and hand sanitizer, they say it's one of the easiest and safest ways to fight back this coronavirus and its dangerous and even deadly spread. But maybe with me, you are saying to yourself, Pastor, we don't want to hear more about this all. I mean, we get enough of it all around us. You hear it enough on the news, and when you're driving on the highways, you see signs. You go to the playground, you see signs, all related to this pandemic. And yet, congregation, how good when in this very time we think now of what's happening in light of Scripture and its gospel message. Let's listen to this, to the infallible Scriptures, and examine this pandemic in that light a little bit. How does this verse that I highlighted before you this evening hit you? Jeremiah 2:22. Just listen to what the prophet Jeremiah says there in God's name to the covenant people in the Old Testament. For though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord God. Now, what is nitre? Nitre is a strong chemical and even a dangerous compound that is used in soaps for washing. We can maybe compare it indeed somewhat to hand sanitizer liquid. It has a stronger concentration of nitre. Maybe think of it almost like bleach. We wash clean our dirty clothes with strong detergents, don't we? And we wash ourselves clean with soap. This is a regular activity in our homes and in our lives. And certainly in our pandemic crises presently, we need to do this often. Not only for ourselves to stay clean, but in care for others. Not only to have ourselves be presentable to others, but in love and respect to others and for their safety and sense of safety. But what now about this verse, Jeremiah 2:22? Let me read it again. What does God say there? Through his prophet Jeremiah. And notice, we should notice this, he is again not just speaking to the pagan world, but he's speaking especially to the religious covenant people of God. For though thou wash thyself with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord God. What is this about, can you say? Our sermon theme is, what even much soap just can't do. In this sermon, on this text and theme, we want first to dwell on this verse a while to get what is being taught here. And then we will consider what it means to profit from this verse, to benefit from it. Surely this message also needs to be told to others, so we'll also think about that, what this text tells and how it should be related to others around us. So maybe to make it simple, let's consider the sin point of our text first, then the Savior point, and then the salvation message point. What's the sin point of our text? Well, isn't it this? You can't miss it. Our sin problem by nature, as fallen, guilty, depraved, corrupted, vile sinners of ourselves, is without remedy. You just can't wash it away. In the Hebrew text, the verb for wash is in a so-called intensive form. So you could almost translate, though thou scrub it or brush it, brush yourself with soap or scrub yourself with soap, no matter how much you scrub and rub, and no matter how strong detergent you may use and how much soap you might put on, we simply cannot clean away our sins and iniquities before God. The mark, our stain of sin in our lives, is, from our perspective, irremovable. The blots and stains of our sins and sinfulness, yours and mine, just doesn't go away. Instead, it persistently, stubbornly keeps appearing and reappearing, no matter how much cleansing products we might use and how many efforts we give to it to get rid of it. It's the stark reality, and we can't hide from it. No one can. No, certainly not before the all-seeing and the all-knowing God. That's for sure. Woe is me, says Isaiah, for I am undone because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. In other words, dear congregation, our text presents a very sorry picture of our sinful plight on our own. You get that with me, right? For though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked. You could translate, is stamped, is impressed, is most visible before me, says the Lord God. Congregation, the solemn reality is that our sin problem, this deadly virus and stain of sin in our lives, is so deep and so contagious and ever present in our lives that nothing in all the world from ourselves can ever remove it or have us be cleansed and rid of it. No. And the certain reality for us all as human beings of ourselves is, without any exception, as Paul says in Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death. Now, this truth about the virus of sin in our lives being just so deep-rooted and deadly and without any human remedy, it's taught throughout the Bible, isn't it? Another very clear verse teaching us the same is what we read in Job 14, verse 4. There Job cries out, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one, he answers. And the same truth is taught in Psalm 130, from which we sang earlier. Verse 3, David asks this searching and penetrating question, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark our iniquities, who then could stand? You see, he's saying then of ourselves, you and me, and all people, we only always appear full of sin and the stain and filth of our iniquities and evil transgressions and deceitful shortcomings are written all over us before God. We all fall short of the glory of God because of our sins. Yes, this is a solemn reality. No matter how much you and I may shower and bathe ourselves and wash ourselves, and regardless what multiple soaps and detergents and cleaning products you and I might use, and however sweet-smelling and wonderfully bubbling those soaps might be, yet before God, of ourselves, we're a mass of sin, and we can't get rid of it. Before God, as fallen and corrupted sinners by nature, we continue an offense before Him with the stain of sin and iniquity like an infected, repulsive leprosy all within us and upon us. We are told by our health officials today that we need to take seriously the unseen and contagious and possibly deadly coronavirus. But now, spiritually speaking, how much more is it not all important that everyone here too, take most seriously the sin virus? Are you taking it seriously? The sin virus? And not just that it is there in and with us all, but that no matter what we do, you and I, we simply can't get rid of it. Our sin problem is going to be with us our whole life long. And then it'll bring us into the grave and it'll land us in hell eternal on our own. There's no doubt, no question about it. It is so serious. It's most deadly. And of ourselves, not all the detergent and soap and hand sanitizer in the world can cleanse us from our sins and sinfulness. We are marked, literally stained, stamped, infected, imprinted with the evil of sin before God. And it's beyond all human remedy, no matter who or what we might turn to in and from this world. Now, you may say, Pastor, we know this. Come on, quit beating the same drum. But lots of people, we know, you know, just refuse to take this message to heart. They refuse to take it to heart. They don't and they won't believe it. Oh, yes, we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. No, we're not perfect, but it's not that bad. It's not that we can't clean up ourselves and fix up ourselves. It's not as bad as you're presenting, Pastor. I'm not presenting. It's God that's telling it. So people, they refuse to believe this, and people, they don't believe it, and people today, spiritually speaking, you know what they do? They spend lots of money and effort and time in religious activities to try to make themselves appear without sin, or at least a little bit cleaner before God. Maybe they do something good, or they do a religious activity to try to appear squeaky clean, presentable before God after all. But our text is telling us that's never going to work. It'll never, ever work. God sees right through us, deep in our hearts and in our lives. And as we read in Genesis 6, verse 5, we read about fallen mankind. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Dear congregation, there is absolutely nothing in and from ourselves and in all this world that can remove the deep-seated guilt and the deep-rooted stain of sin in any person's life, yours and mine too. The sin virus is that awful and corrupting and contagious and deadly and totally always without solution or remedy left to ourselves. And in this regard, let me show you now one of the very saddest pictures in all the Bible and in world history. Well, where is that, you say? Where can we find that? Well, we find it in the Bible. In Matthew 27, verse 22 to 25. Let's read it together, in fact. I hope you have your Bible. I'll give you time to look it up. Matthew 27, verse 22 to 25. One of the saddest pictures in the world. The setting here is when Jesus was before Pilate. And Pilate was getting nowhere in handling the case. He knew Jesus was innocent. The people were saying, no, he's guilty. And he successfully had hoped the people would fall for his plan to release Barabbas and let Jesus go. But the people didn't go for that. And they would rather release Barabbas and have Jesus crucified. And it leaves the Roman judge Pilate at his wit's end. And what does he do? What does it say in Matthew 27, 22 to 25? Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all say to him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Now, do you see why this is one of the saddest pictures in all the Bible? Oh, if Pilate had only understood Jeremiah 2, verse 22. Washing his hands does not wash away Pilate's awful sin of injustice in putting an innocent man to death. The Roman judge couldn't wash away his sin and iniquity now in refusing to deal justly with this Jesus. As far as we know, Pilate never repented, and he died in his sins and sinfulness, exactly also because he tried to wash them away with the soap and the detergents that he used, but they were to no avail. Yet how many people so live and die all around us still now? What about ourselves, you and me? Are we each and all understanding how hopeless, how helpless we are of ourselves being sinners and sinful people by nature? You and I can never clean ourselves before God. Our filth and sin is way more than just outward. It's way more than skin deep. It's from head to heart. It's from head to toe. And in emphasizing this all now, dear congregation, with our text before us, the purpose is not to be negative and just to be a depressing preacher. No. But except we get this first point, really get it, no one of us will truly appreciate the only remedy and hope for us. The great and grievous problem with sinful mankind is that by and large, they are refusing to hear and to take to heart our dreadful, defiled, deadly sin problem. And people, therefore, also will not truly repent of sin, nor come to God, pleading his mercy and grace for us in our misery left to ourselves. You know, we can't just skip over Jeremiah 2:22 because it's crucial to taking to heart the unbelievable, most wonderful, and endlessly precious gospel message of Jesus Christ. And so, let me read again the text where Jeremiah makes known in God's name for religious Israel and all the people of the world from every tribe and tongue and nation as offspring of Adam and Eve, fallen in sin. Listen, for though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord God. When you take this to heart, by God's grace and Spirit, won't you then also hear welcome and prize the gospel remedy that declares, the elder servant prayed it in his prayer, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. John 1 verse 7. And the chief aim of this sermon, dear congregation, is to highlight and to honor the Savior of sinners, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. Just think with me, as we come to our second point now, the Savior point, just think with me what He has accomplished in and with His sacrificial, substitutionary, sin-atoning death on the cross and His resurrection from the grave, sinners like us to save. If not all the soaps in the world and all the detergents that you could find can ever wash a sinner clean, why is it that Jesus' blood shed on sinners' behalf can wash us clean and make us whiter than snow before God? Would you know the answer to that question? Can you give the answer to that question? When the Bible speaks of Jesus' blood washing us clean, by His blood is meant His perfect life of righteousness, yet given up to bear the sins of His people and to pay the full and eternally equivalent righteous punishment of God for all those sins. And this is what Jesus did. And it explains all His suffering and His death on the cross, all done in the place of His people to make it possible for God truly to blot out all our sins in and through Christ's gracious, glorious person and priceless, perfect, finished sacrifice for sin on sinners' behalf. Therefore, by Jesus' blood, for all joined in Spirit-led repentance and faith to Him, our sins and sinfulness are no longer marked against us, washed away in His blood when we are trusting Him. Christ, through His blood shed on Calvary's tree, removed all those sins from you and me when we are trusting Him. He removes them all, once for all. And we may be clean in God's sight, forever justified, cleansed and renewed before God. Yes, washed whiter than snow through Christ's precious blood, offered up to save His people from their sins for now and forever. It's quite something to think about, this congregation. I hope you like thinking about it. I hope you never tire of hearing of Jesus and His shed blood, sinners to save. It's quite something to think about, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. How humbling that the only remedy for us sinful people was one that required Jesus, God's Son, to come down from heaven to this earth, come as God, come in the flesh, and to live His perfect life here on earth, and then give His life up as a ransom for many. And God so willingly gave His Son for this salvation purpose, to save hopelessly guilty, defiled, rebellious sinners like you and me. And Jesus willingly gave Himself to the cross, even to the death of the cross, for this salvation accomplishment. God, triune by His Holy Spirit and Word now, still wants to make it known also to the world the desperate need we have, and the only remedy is Jesus Christ. And that's freely offered for all who have ears to hear. Oh, the riches of the blood of Christ for sinners, whoever sees their need for cleansing through His precious blood. God's people with the Apostle Peter just can't get over the blood of Jesus shed for a sinner like me. Is that true for you too? We read in 1 Peter 1 verse 18 and following. Let me read a couple of verses. For as much as ye know, says Peter, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed, what? With the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Well, do we all understand this gracious, glorious gospel, riches? Does it gladden your heart that there is a remedy? The precious blood of Christ to wash us clean from our sins. Think of it. I try to imagine, I have no clue how much, but how much blood was shed in the Old Testament sacrifices for sin. You know, all those animals that were slain. Millions and millions, millions of animals slain, all in foreshadowing of Jesus' shed blood, sinners to save once for all, as that Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We read in Hebrews 10, verse 4, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins, but that all was used of God as a picture and prophecy pointing ever to Jesus, the one and only Savior, and his precious blood that would be shed, yes, from the crucified and risen Redeemer to save his people from their sins. You know, we can say that not all the blood in the world, not all the blood in the world, there's a lot of blood in the world, if you think of animals and people, not all the blood in the world shed for sin, even as not all the soap and detergent in the world used to wash us clean, can ever suffice to wash away our sins, yours and mine. Nothing but the blood of Jesus will do. Not only as Jesus' blood was shed, but as applied to us by the Holy Spirit in the way of personal faith and repentance before God in Christ Jesus. That's what brings salvation for sinners like us. Sin is only effectively washed away when there is repentance toward the Lord and faith in him, Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Redeemer, cleansing us with his blood. In Hebrews, we read about the cleansing through the blood of the everlasting covenant that God had arranged through Christ, the Lamb of God. Well, when you and I know this gospel, congregation, are we not both constantly humbled by it and repeatedly encouraged and heartened by it? Where I stayed between church today, I looked at a calendar which had for the July month, I think it's a TBS calendar, the verse in Psalm 51, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Psalm 51, verse 2. How can that happen? Oh, there's a remedy. The blood of Jesus Christ can do that for us. Look what God has done and was willing to do, even to save a sinful wretch like me. And consider how precious is Jesus' blood. How precious in cleansing and renewing a guilty and hopelessly defiled sinner like me. Why, now I trusting him, you trusting him, we may be washed whiter than snow. Yes, through Jesus' blood and righteousness in his salvation work for sinners like us. In fact, the gospel news of Jesus Christ for us as our Savior and Lord is so astounding. You know what it says? It says that through him, he promises us one day to present us faultless before God. He'll present us faultless with exceeding joy before God in glory. His precious blood can do that. You can read that yourself in the last verses of the book of Jude. And we read too in the Bible that saved sinners in glory already Already now, the believing saints who've gone before us, we read in Revelation 7, verse 13, and following this good news, they are clothed there in white robes, being those who by grace through faith washed their robes and made them white. How? In the blood of the Lamb. Yes, and that forevermore, with no more sin, no more defilement to come upon them ever again in any way, all through Christ and His redeeming work, sinners like us to save. Oh, it's tremendous. It's tremendous. Splendid free gospel. What God has accomplished and promises sinners like us in and through His Son, even for as many as confess their sin and apply to Him. You know, when you know the truth of Jeremiah 2:22 and you turn from your sins and trust in Jesus, you never can get over it, really. You can't get over it. The wonder and the glory of Jesus' blood freely and fully cleansing us from all our sins. My sinful thoughts, my sinful words, my sinful deeds. Cleansing us, not leaving the slightest stain or blot of sin in us or with us or on us. What good news! What remedy from sin, don't you agree, that we find with Jesus? What a gospel to tell and to make known to all the world. What a gospel to know for ourselves and to relate to others, whoever has ears to hear. And when you and I truly know this gospel and are partakers of it by grace through faith in Christ, do we not then wish for the whole world to know this gospel? And don't you and I, as confessing Christians, then seek and serve to relate the salvation message to those around us as God gives us opportunity? And here we come to our last thought in connection with our text. Jeremiah 2:22. We have thought about the sin problem that it tells about and makes most clear. We've thought about the Savior of sinners that it points to and proclaims. And think now of the salvation message that we have to tell. The salvation message, beloved congregation, the monarch, that we have to tell is that though this world is fallen and hopelessly defiled and deep in the helpless misery of sin, yet there is good news, great news to proclaim. Indeed, the most blessed good news and gospel tidings, tidings that we find in verses like this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. And what about this verse? Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Isaiah 1:18. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Snow and wool represent that which is white and clean. Think here too of what we read in 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a precious gospel, surely, to proclaim. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance, the Lord says in Isaiah 43. So many texts. What precious gospel we get to tell in our homes and from our homes around the world. This is the ever good news of the Bible. There is a remedy for the sin virus. There is a vaccine. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, gave His blood, and He's out to seek and to save the lost. Yet how difficult and challenging can be, can't it, to relate this message to others? Don't you find that too? In our homes even, and outside our homes, and within the church, and outside the church, and in the world around us. And what is the challenge often? Well, it's that people don't want to take to heart the bad news. And so they remain basically unreceptive to the splendid good news. You see, not taking the sin problem seriously, they don't and they won't take the Savior seriously either. We see that all around us. And here let me relate what another preacher said in reference to our main text for this service, Jeremiah 2:22. This person wrote, one of the shortest but most pregnant words in our language, he wrote, is the word sin. By the way, what's the middle letter of the word sin? Have you thought about that before? The middle letter is what? I. Don't forget that. That word sin is a word full of instruction, and yet it's one of those words least understood. And this preacher says, the whole system of the gospel rests on the fact of sin and the dreadful evil of sin and on the inexpiable or irremovable character of sin by any human means whatsoever. And our text now this evening puts this truth before us in startling clarity. And the question is, are we taking it seriously? The question which we all have to consider is, how is the guilt of our sins to be dealt with that it will not be laid at last to our charge, yours or mine? But just hearing that, dear congregation, only brings out all the more, doesn't it? Our calling, individually and as confessing believers and as Christian church, to make known the whole gospel tidings of the Bible as we are able and when we are able, locally and abroad to the ends of the earth. And can we not pray much too? Should we not pray that God will use even this pandemic time with all the focus on cleanliness, physical cleanliness, and avoiding contagion from others, and faced with the reality of death and the danger of death? Can we not pray much that God will use this very matter to help give opportunities to sow the gospel seed? How we should pray, too, for the Holy Spirit to work in people's lives and to bless even the simplest message and gospel seed that we are privileged to relay to others as God gives us opportunity. God has promised His word will not return to Him void. You know, churches fail miserably when they say they proclaim the gospel but just skip over or minimize or deny the seriousness of our sin problem. How sad and wrong, too, when churches promote superficial washing rituals and all kinds of washing ceremonies and other ceremonies for the comfort of the people who attend by them, and to have them believe that they are accepted by God just by going through those ceremonies, when it's only through Jesus' blood saving us from our sins that our sins can be blotted out now and forever. How we should grieve about so many false remedies for the virus of sin that people purchase and that people pursue, when the one and only remedy is freely offered us in the gospel of Jesus Christ and calling all to come unto Him to receive the cleansing that we all need. Well, God help us individually and as families and as churches to be and remain faithful in the full gospel presentation and message. Yes, also to our children and children's children. The full message is, as stated in the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 2, not only teaching about making known to others how great our sins and miseries are, but also how we may be delivered by them all, truly and freely in and through Christ the Savior, and repenting and believing on Him, and then also in living lives of thankfulness to this great God, our Savior, for His boundless, endless mercies to us in and through Jesus Christ the Savior. I want to ask, are you, anyone here, plagued with any sin? Grieved about any sin in your life? Troubled by any sin? Bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. Pastor Ganger, the late Pastor Ganger, in his commentary on Matthew, he wrote, Jesus alone is sufficient to deal with the darkness of sin. Give it to Him. His blood can blot it away. Tonight, right now, wash it away. It really can. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There's power in the blood to make you clean right now, trusting Him. Well, how might you use this message also in relating to others? This message about not all the soap and detergent in the world being able to cleanse us and rid us from sin. How might you use this message to glorify Jesus and to say, look what a Savior Jesus Christ and Him crucified is, that His blood can wash us from all our sins. How might we have Jeremiah 2:22 guide us and lead us in salvation ministry and service to others about the only good news in this otherwise sin-perishing world, whether we get a help out of COVID-19 or not? We are headed to divine judgment. Who knows how soon? The last judgment. Who knows how soon now? Well, I'm praying, congregation, with this sermon, that now every time you use that soap container, whether at church here or in your home, and you wash your hands, and then you use your hand sanitizer, that this verse, Jeremiah 2:22, keeps being impressed upon you. Everyone listening now. For all the unsaved in the final day, those who would not have their sins washed away by Jesus' blood and righteousness, that includes you too, if you will not go to Him, you need to know this, you will scrub to all eternity your sin and iniquity, but to no avail. That will be hell indeed. I'd far, far rather be in heaven after this life. Wouldn't you too? That place where sin is no more. Not the least stain or blot of it on anyone there. And all because of Jesus providing the one and only remedy for sinners like us. Today is yet the day of grace. And full and free salvation is offered to whoever calls upon the Lord for His mercy and His shed blood to save sinners. Also sinner like you and like me. What even much soap just can't do. Oh, congregation, only the sound of the text, Jeremiah 2:22, it sounds like a trumpet. I thought so at least. 2:22. Well, let's be sure to hear that full gospel message of Jeremiah 2:22 for ourselves, and then to sound that gospel trumpet to others. And may God save many more yet through His gospel word till the last day. He promised He would, and He surely will. Hallelujah. What a Savior for sinners who call on Him. Does that include you? Amen.